Welcome to the Weight Loss Podcast, where we offer solutions to the obstacles you face when it comes to achieving your health and fitness goals. As a married couple who has lost a combined weight of 100 kilograms and 11 clothes sizes, our raw, real, and relatable stories will show you the path you must walk to achieve, and more importantly, maintain the results you know you can reach. Because we know it works. So get ready to share the success and show the results with your hosts, Matt and Courtney.
Hello, welcome to, yes, the title that you just heard is correct. This actually is the Weight Loss Podcast. We ran the right intro. And last time I checked, my name was Matt, and hang on. Yep, that's still me. With me, as always, is my wife, co-host, the real star of the show. Give it up for me. Courtney. Let's go.
That's me. Thanks.
So season 11 rolls on. 11. Jeez. So this one is, we would like to consider this a very positive episode, which we like to be positive wherever possible. Sometimes not always possible, but wherever possible. So previously, if you've listened to this podcast before, you may indeed have heard one or both of us talking about the importance of things we like to call small wins. In fact, a number of years ago, we did an episode about acknowledging small wins. And guess what? We are here to acknowledge even more small wins because they keep adding up as we go through life, don't they?
Yes.
It's not like, oh, well, I've had these wins up to this stage and that's the end of it. Like, no, there's more coming because, you know, we all need more wins in our lives. We all get more wins. And, well, we like to lead by example. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure we can all agree, you listening, Courtney, me, weight loss is difficult.
Yes.
Challenging. Entirely takes longer than we would like it to.
Yes.
And we simply just cannot wait to reach our end goals and then celebrate once we're there. Well, actually, you know, all along the way, there are victories that are very often overlooked. And they deserve recognition. They deserve acknowledgement. And they should be called out. Just because you may not have reached whatever your current, and that's the phrase, current end goal might be, doesn't mean you aren't checking off some pretty important boxes along the way. Mm. Because you tend to find, well, I believe, I'll get your thoughts on this, Courtney. What you think is a big win or a big goal you're working towards actually ends up becoming a series of small wins that all add up.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And the thing is, you think about it, these wins don't just have to be in the gym or in the kitchen. I mean, they all count, but from our perspective, an actual weight loss journey should be holistic, encompassing a great number of important things. And really, like, I'm going to get a little bit deep here, but a real weight loss journey is actually about more than just weight loss. Mm. I know that might sound a bit contradictory, but there's more that goes into dropping the flab, getting in great shape, improving your health, improving your confidence, and just put it this way. When people are out of shape or overweight, whatever phrase you want to use, I don't believe they have a weight problem. They have a problem of all the things that led up to them getting to that stage.
Yeah.
So if we have all those, you know, issues that we have that lead us to where we are, wouldn't you then think, well, I'm going to have heaps of little wins along the way that will add up to a pretty big outcome?
Yeah.
Does that make sense, or am I just talking shit?
No, it makes sense. And I think you hit on a really important point, which is it shouldn't just be about the one big goal that we're aiming for. It definitely, a weight loss journey should mean lots of wins along the way.
Yes, which I would like, I'll speak for, I think you'll agree with this. If you wait until you reach your end goal, whatever that might be, to acknowledge things that you've done well or things you're improving on, this is going to be even harder than it already is. And I think infinitely more dissatisfying.
Yes.
Because I've always found that once you're in the sort of mindset of, nah, I'm going to look for the little wins and the little victories that accrue and accumulate over this time period, I believe and I find it becomes more satisfying because you then feel yourself gaining momentum. Mm. Like, shit, I'm improving in all these different areas and this is starting to add up now.
Yeah.
For me, personally speaking, I think it's exciting.
Mm.
Because like, hey, shit, like stuff's getting done here. Stuff's happening.
Yeah,
What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I think that we learned a long time ago that if you waited until, you know, you reach these like landmark milestone goals that you've got, everything in between can just feel a bit flat and empty if you're really not focusing on the things. And, you know, we're all emotional beings, right? And we all us as emotional beings, we tend to lean towards the negative. It's just the way that we tend to lean. And especially when we're not potentially feeling confident with ourselves, with our body, we're always going to lean towards the negative. And so it's really easy for us to convince ourselves, I think, that we're not doing enough. We're not doing well enough. Ah. It's taking too long. Ah. It can really feed into our negative mindset if we're feeling flat along that journey because we're not able to appreciate the things that we're doing well.
It also then gives you false information on what's happening because you think, well, I haven't got there yet and I'm not there yet, so something's not working.
Yes.
Well, actually, because you are ignoring little victories that are accruing along the way here, you're giving yourself a false sense of where you actually are.
100%. And it can really then derail your journey because you can potentially then really convince yourself that you're not doing enough, that it's not working, that something has to change because nothing's happening.
Do you know why I also can derail what you're doing? Because taking the time to recognize and acknowledge the wins that you're racking up along the path actually gives you sustained momentum to keep going. Because if you've gone through any of this yourself in the past or currently are right now, I would like to think you can relate when I say this. These small wins are addictive and winning is addictive and we want more.
Absolutely.
And we want those feelings of, I don't know, if, like, this is just my view of this and how I perceive things. It's a drug. These small wins are a drug where it's just like, I want the next one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And to me, that's what keeps you going through what can be a long, difficult, uncomfortable journey along the way.
100%. And I think that the moment, I mean, we'll get into some of the small wins that we've listed in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's important to know that this list doesn't have to be your list. This list is one that Matt and I have put together on just some of the things that we could think of in the moment. There would be way more than this that's happened over the years. There's going to be more than this. It's a constantly evolving thing. There's not just one set rule on what is considered a small win.
Well, this is just what we've got here is just a list of where we are right now in season 11.
Yeah, what we're thinking in the moment.
Come back in season 13 or 14, it'll be a different list altogether because you've then got more life experience.
But I think it's important when you think of small wins, a lot of people go for the really obvious stuff. So that's why as well we wanted to start listing some of these things down so you can really see that it's not necessarily just about, you know, hitting certain markers with your training or something like that. It is not even just about the weight loss part of your journey. It could also be related to your life part. It could be related to how you're handling stress day to day, how you're sleeping. You know, it could cover so many different things.
I would say the obvious big things are a very good place to start, and they do count. But there should be more than that. That's why the word holistic is so important here. Where yes, like you know, if you know my squat numbers are going up, my bench press numbers are going up, or you know my 5 kilometer run time is going down. Like, mate, that all counts.
It all counts.
But there's more than just
that. Just as much as I went out for dinner with my girlfriends and didn't feel guilty about it.
Or I now no longer feel pressure to drink every time I'm out with my friends.
Yeah. So it could be a tangible, physical thing where you can hold it, you can feel it, you can see the number on a screen. It could also just be an emotion that you did or didn't feel.
Or a reaction to an emotion.
Yeah.
Or a habitual improvement. Yeah. Well, that's where the phrase invisible success comes in.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I just wanted to point that out so we can get into our list at the moment now. And I think just have a think about when Matt and I are going through this. Yes, if any of these relate, you can resonate with, but also just start having a think about ones that you feel right now as well.
Well, part of the reason in your journey. Part of the reason we're even doing this is for you listening to start to think, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Have I had things like this? And then you start to think a little bit deeper.
Correct.
On yeah, okay.
All right. Let's start.
Well, I'll kick things off.
Yep.
Just was a couple of things I wrote down. Like just from a perspective as like a coach myself, like I think a clear win is that I believe and feel that I have learned at least as much from the clients that we've worked with over the years than they have learned from me, if not more so. Because I've become, like I'm never going to say I'm the, actually no, I will say I'm the best at what I do because I am the fucking best at what I do. But I'm never going to say I'm beyond improvement because no one is beyond improvement. But man, our clients, from my perspective, our clients have made me better at what I do. So if you're listening are one of our like current or former clients, thanks.
Yeah.
You've made me so much better and I love you for that fact.
Yes.
Win, because you've made me better at my job.
Yes. You going to do the next one too?
The other one I put down is that it's a win that has only come over time. It's just that I'm at the stage now where I feel it would be harder to stop the habits that I've got and the lifestyle that I've built than it is to keep going.
Well, that's a good one.
When I contrast that to where I was when I was younger, it's like, who the fuck am I? Who is this person?
I think it's a really good one because I don't even think I've really stopped to think about that.
Well, you think about it, right? Building habits and building routines and behaviors and a lifestyle, to me, it really should be when you get to the stage where you don't know how to stop, and it would actually be harder to stop. That's how you know your habits are really well ingrained.
I think it's a really good point.
And it's, yeah, I'm not sure I can actually add to that. Like, I don't know how to stop anymore.
No, I think it's a really good point. I think it's a really good one that even I'm going to reflect on that one now because I think that's a really good point. The next one I think, you know, we both resonate with is resilience. So I definitely have got infinitely better at coping with or just able to cope, really. Just being better at coping. So I think resilience is definitely a skill that I've learned over the last couple of decades.
Especially the last couple of years.
And I think definitely in the last couple of years – have definitely in the I would say realistically even more so in the last 5 years. I think that I've been able to really improve my ability to cope.
Yeah, I would echo that for myself as well. Like, there's no quitting me, none.
No,
and you know, we recorded an episode in our last season called Gratitude. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen to it and then you'll have context to what I'm about to say, which is that I'm unkillable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when you develop and earn real scars in life and you still come out the other side, you realize, you know what? Man, I'm a hard fucker to put down.
Yeah.
And there's a level of pride that comes with that because like, well, hang on. You know, you go through real adversity in your life and you still come out the other side, you're doing okay. So resilience for sure. I think like anyone that's, if you've met me, like Courtney will attest to this, like I'm a large human being.
Mm.
The biggest muscle in my body is resilience.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Getting stronger.
Always a win. Like we spoke about before that, you know, it's not just the gym or the kitchen, but man, they count.
Yes.
And yeah, like I think we can both agree, like getting stronger is that's that's a never-ending win.
100%. I think for me, years ago, when I first started lifting weights, it was about being comfortable lifting the weight.
What do you mean?
I think like being comfortable with the movement, making sure that I could feel the movement.
You mean the quality of the movement?
Yeah.
Like your form?
Yes.
Okay.
And being able to feel the muscles, retracting the muscles that I know I needed to. Like having a better concept over my muscles and my body and what was moving when.
Is this the mind-muscle connection you're referring to?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And why it was moving, yeah, and making sure I was engaging the right muscles at the right times, that sort of thing. So that's years ago. You know, that was a massive win for me, mm-hmm, being able to just to feel it sounds weird, but it was just like this body synergy where I could just almost see the movement like I was watching myself in my mind while I was doing the movement. It sounds weird, but that's really what I used to be able to do. I could see myself like I was standing behind myself doing the movement.
Whoa.
I know. Yeah.
That's deep, bro.
It's a bit woo-woo, but I really could. And
it's a bit what?
Woo-woo. But now that I've been doing it for so long, it's sort of like what you were talking about earlier, Matt, where it's like I can't imagine my time before I could do it. And now it's just about having that satisfaction when I go into the gym and I'm able to put up that weight. Like I can just do the movement and it's fluid and it's, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it feels so good that I know I can put up the weight and I can lift more.
So what's it like being a strong bitch?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah?
It's pretty good.
I put one on here that won't apply to you for a few years yet, Courtney, given our age difference. But for me, it's in the episode about small wins. To me, it's a little bit bigger than a small win, but hey, we'll talk about it. Like, I'm aging pretty well.
Yeah.
I'll give myself some credit there. So you go back to a few years ago, we recorded an episode, it was around about the time of my 40th birthday, where I was basically shitting bricks,
mm-hmm,
on turning 40. Like, what the fuck was wrong with me? Like, really?
You were pretty, pretty not scared. You were pretty upset about the fact that you're turning 40.
There was a level of denial,
yeah,
that came with it. Yet now, like I'm 46 now, like, mate, I'm doing just fine.
Yeah.
What was wrong with me?
I don't know.
What was wrong with me?
I know.
I mean, then again, you don't know what you don't know. But now with where I'm at, it's like, you know, whenever I'm around people of my age that don't take care of themselves, it's like, yeah, I'm doing okay.
Yeah. I'm happy with this.
Put it this way, can maybe a small victory lap, if I can just, I can't help myself. I've got receipts. Like if I've still got friends that I'm friends with on Facebook, for example, that I went to high school with, that used to give me shit about being fat in high school. Who's laughing now, motherfucker? Who's laughing now?
Wow.
Because I'm 46 and I'm looking pretty good and I feel pretty good. Meanwhile, you're my age and you look 56. So eat shit.
Really cashing in that receipt.
Mate, you know what I'm like.
You haven't held on to this at all.
Hey, you know me. You know I've got receipts in of my pockets.
You do not let shit go.
No, I do not. So, hey, eat shit.
Fine. You can take that one. All right. Embracing new challenges.
This is, I think, an ultimate small win.
Mm.
But can you elaborate, though?
Well, I think that you were more putting this one down for like getting into karate.
I'll talk about that, but what about from yourself though? I mean,
I think for me, it's been more about challenges in terms of I actually don't know, because mine have been more about new hobbies and whatnot, which we'll talk about
in
after.
That case,
so
I'll take
I think this is more yours.
I'll take over this one. So definitely for me, embracing new challenges and not being afraid to be a beginner.
Mm.
So from like I've been in this line of work now, it's coming up on 15 years.
Mm.
Like, wow, where'd that fucking time go? You know? So if you stick for something for any decent amount of time, you should expect to get good at it. Let's just be realistic.
Yes.
And I would consider myself good at what I do from a coaching career standpoint, but I'm still not afraid to embrace new challenges and to be a beginner and to be a rookie and to suck at new things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the martial arts and karate is a great example, because whilst I might be a black belt in weight loss coaching, I started out as a white belt in karate and was abysmal, for lack of a better word. But it's like, you know what? Sometimes it's really good and refreshing to humble yourself and climb new mountains and embrace new challenges and embrace discomfort. And this is where, like, we'll tell clients, Courtney, like, embrace being a beginner. There's nothing wrong with being a beginner at anything.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so for me, there's been definitely small wins there, because now I've been doing this, like, I'm not a beginner at karate now.
No.
I'm not a black belt either, but I'm on the way,
mm-hmm.
You know. But it's just been such a rewarding journey to start from the base of a new mountain and just gradually crawl my way up.
Mm.
And that's a small win, because also that to me, that is a mentality and a behavior that translates to any area of your life.
Mm.
Where it's like, you know what, something new, something I'm not good at, let's go.
Mm.
Let's get stuck in. Yep. Don't run from the challenge.
I agree. The next one that we put down was always ensuring we have food in the fridge and freezer. So rule of proximity, really. But I think this is the one that we overlook a lot, because we've been doing it for so long, it's second nature to us. It's not even second nature. It's just our norm.
It's just what we do.
It's just what we do. But I think when you really look at it, it is still a win for us that there's never a time where we go to the fridge and there's nothing there to eat.
Maybe
nothing good to eat.
Maybe you also might even just expand this one. Like a win for the both of us is that the basics that we have preached and teached, rhymes doesn't work, preached and taught to people over a long period of time now, we still adhere to ourselves.
Yes, I think that
non-negotiable,
and it's become so natural for us that it's something that
you take for granted.
We take for granted, and we don't stop to appreciate as much that you know, it has become such a given that we do our grocery shopping, we food prep, we always have good food in the pantry and the fridge and the freezer to eat.
We also have very well refined processes on, you know, our food planning, our shopping, our preparation, what works for us. It is dialed in.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. There's certain aspects of the basics that we preach to clients and whatnot that individually we may not find enjoyable. You know, like I've said a number of times in the past how much I don't like cooking. Nothing has changed. I still effing hate it. Same with Courtney in certain – actually, you know, I think you probably have softened a bit on exercise. Like you've made a point once or twice, you might say, in the past about how, oh, I fucking hate exercise. You told me an hour ago that you like leg day.
I said I don't mind leg day. It's a very different thing to saying I like it.
I'm pretty sure you said you like
leg day. No, I said I don't mind it. And, yes, I would say that I've come around to exercise. I still hate cardio. And certain forms of cardio, hate with a passion. But yeah, weight training, I definitely come around to over the years. I do not mind weight training. I do not mind walking, going out for walks, things like that, especially like in the summer around our home. We have a lot of trails, things like that. So,
what about in the winter? How about walking in the winter?
Hate walking in the winter. I hate being out in the rain.
Oh,
despise it.
Poor baby.
I don't care.
You got wet.
Don't care what you say. Still don't like it. I'm not going to change my mind. Don't care. Won't do it. But yes,
Once a princess, always a princess.
All right. What's the next one? Where are we up to?
Well, the next one I think we need to speak about for yourself because you've dropped the anxiety word.
Mm.
So you've got working around, working with my anxiety instead of trying to change it. Can you elaborate on this?
Yeah, I think a win for me over the last few years especially has been realizing, I think for many, many years, when I had my anxiety triggers, I would try to change myself, try to change the way that I felt about that particular thing, basically trying not to have anxiety.
Were you trying to avoid it?
Yeah, trying just to stop myself from feeling it.
Good luck with that.
Correct. So, you know, for many, many years, I thought that I could. And I think over the last, you know, especially over the last 5 years, I've really understood that that's just so unrealistic as a thought process.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was putting far too much pressure on myself to be able just to stop feeling anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be so, you know, quite embarrassed that I would feel it. Like I didn't want to speak about it. I would hide it. So I think just acknowledging the fact that I have these certain anxiety triggers, they can be funny to some other people and it really doesn't bother me, but I'm very open now about what my triggers for anxiety are and I've stopped trying to change myself from not feeling it. Instead, now I do certain workarounds with it. So I acknowledge the fact that it could potentially be triggering for me. So I'm going to find a way around it. So it's probably just easier to give an example. So one of my anxiety triggers is making sure things are locked. The car's locked, the house is locked, workplaces are locked.
Did I close the roller door?
Yeah, you're funny. It is legitimately, all jokes aside, triggering.
I'm not joking. You asked me that question when we go for a drive.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And it is legitimately triggering. So I will turn around and go back if I'm not sure that I closed the garage door, if I locked the house, or if I locked my workplace up, you know, when I'm leaving, like all of those things. And it got to a certain stage. It's just one of my triggers. It just things mm-hmm. have to be locked. Otherwise, it will fester in my brain.
Yeah.
So one of my work, instead of trying to stop myself from feeling that, I just openly acknowledge it to whoever's around me. And if I can be not the person that leaves and has to lock up, I will. And I'll just tell the other person, can you lock up because I don't want to? Because then I don't have to feel that anxiety. And just admitting it. Or if I'm by myself, I will still lock up. But say if I'm at my workplace, I will lock up and I'll take a photo of the door locked because the door is a certain design where you can see the deadbolt go in. So I take a photo of it if I'm by myself because it might sound silly, but I just know then if I start to get anxious that I didn't lock the door, I know I have a photo of it locked.
You sent me a video once of you locking a door and it's like, you know what? I laugh because it's cute, but you know what? If it works, you stick with it.
Yeah.
You don't like I can giggle and be and just like, oh, that's cute and that's funny, but I don't deal with it, so I don't fully know. But I understand that if that helps to put it behind you, like why would you change a damn thing?
This is what I mean though.
Because also, this has clearly helped because I can't remember the last time you stressed about, did I lock that?
No.
We've got to go back and check that. So what you've been doing is working.
Yeah.
Good job.
Well, I legitimately won't sleep.
I know. This I do know.
So
this I do know, yes.
You know, and yeah, we can have a laugh about it and joke, but you know, if we look at it realistically, is actually quite serious because I literally just won't sleep or I've done it before where I've actually literally at night driven back to a workplace because I convinced myself I hadn't locked the door.
Yep.
It will just eat at me. And yeah, I never understood really the best way to deal with it. Maybe there's better ways to deal with it, but as you said, this works for me. I've come to the realization that, you know, and I use this same way with other anxiety triggers that I have. This mm-hmm. is just one trigger for
yep.
me.
Yep.
And it just got to the stage where I stopped trying to change it about myself, trying to say that I don't suffer from anxiety and I don't have these triggers. Rather than just trying to change myself, I did this, I prepare workarounds for myself so I don't get triggered. Or if I do get triggered, I'm able to reassure myself from the workarounds that I did.
Really just sounds like you're just now more effectively working with it rather than trying to fight against it.
Yes.
And I can speak just from a, well, not so neutral observer since we're married, but just as a third party observer, it's clearly helped a lot because it doesn't really come up anymore. So, you know, when I giggle at you saying things like I take photos because I think it's cute and it's just, you know, you think your wife's cute. But if I'm talking deadly serious, it's clearly helping. It takes you all of, I don't know, 3 seconds to take the photo to give you reassurance. Why would you change a thing? This is where you say, for example, oh, I'm not sure if there's a better way. Who cares? The way you're currently doing works, it takes you 3 seconds to do it and look at the end result. Like, you can't argue with the end result, can you?
No.
Good job. Good job out of you. Because that was a little thorn in your side for quite a long time.
Well, I mean, my anxiety triggers in general have been bad for a long time.
I mean, in particular, the locked doors thing.
Oh, the lock one in particular, making sure things are locked.
That was a daily concern.
Oh, every time I leave somewhere.
Yeah.
And if I'm the last to leave, then yeah, it's a concern always.
Yep. So you've done well. Now, the next point that you've written here, Courtney, I wonder if this ties in. You've written here journaling, gratitude, new hobbies, mental health. Let's go.
Yeah, well, I think for me it's a win to find a new hobby, which is reading for me. So reading fiction, I've never been a big reader. I was never a big reader when I was growing up.
I wouldn't even say you were never a big reader. You just weren't a reader full stop.
No, I struggled to learn to read when I was a child.
Yeah.
So I was a bad speller because I was a bad reader.
Yeah.
And it took me a really long time to learn to read.
Mm-hmm.
So I think because of that, I was always very self-conscious of my reading. And because of that, I never enjoyed it. It was never enjoyable to me. It was more like a chore to do it growing up. So I never grew up reading Harry Potter or, you know, any of those series that everyone else read. I never read, ever. I don't remember ever reading a book. Even in school when we had to do books, I would read the summary books. I wouldn't actually read the novel.
Really?
Yeah, never read the novel.
Yep.
You could buy these like summary books on the novels that you had to, like they would do at school.
Mm.
And it would summarize each chapter and I would just read those.
Hmm.
So never really read a novel. I don't think I ever read a novel back to front until a year ago.
How many do you think you've read now the last 12 months?
I think my Goodreads says 60.
Bro.
But
now, let's be clear. That's just what you physically read. That doesn't include the audiobooks that you power through now as well, does it?
No, just an actual book.
Now, is that physical books or is that physical plus now Kindle?
Oh, both. Yeah, I couldn't own that many books.
You got a few.
I've got quite a few, but I had to get a Kindle as well because I was like, I can't keep buying books.
Now,
I'm going to run out of space.
Okay, what has this done for you?
It's definitely helped me. I think you alluded to it before where we did do a podcast last season. We did go through in quite a traumatic time early last year. And I think from that then on, I was looking for some sort of outlet. So something to take me basically to another place. You know, we were in quite a sad grief time and I knew I had to feel and live within that, but being able to read these novels was basically a mental escape to something that I knew was going to have a happy ending, just some sort of mental escape. I could live in a different world just for that book that I knew was going to have a happy ending, because I'm definitely still in my romance novel era, I'm going to put it out there.
Okay. See, this is the thing. I wasn't going to say it. I'm just sitting here like, I wonder if she's going to admit this.
100%. I'm not embarrassed to admit it. I am definitely my romance novel era. Some fantasy, but mostly just your typical romance because, again, it's what helps me. That's just what my brain wants. I want to live in a different world for a certain amount of time and to know there's going to be a happy ending.
Mm.
And I'm good.
Definitely happy endings from what you've told me.
Sometimes I'll do like a murder mystery suspense kind of a book, but even then I have to be in the mood because I don't want any more death and grief in my world at the moment. It's not really what I'm looking for. So you've just got to gravitate to the books that really suit your mood.
If sure, yeah.
And that's where I tend to gravitate to. So reading for me has been a massive outlet and huge for my mental health. So I think for me that's a win because I was able to find an outlet that's really helped me. And not only has it helped me with my, like just with having some sort of mental outlet, it's also helped me spend less time on my phone. Spend less time looking at the TV. I don't remember the last time I watched the news. It was probably when we were staying with my parents for the weekend because they're obsessed with watching the news. I don't watch the news. If I'm on social media these days, it's usually more to do with sport or food videos.
You mean the food videos that I send you or the funny dog videos that I send you?
Or like musical performance videos. That's pretty much what I consume these days. It's very rarely anything else.
Do you consume the wrestling videos I constantly send you?
I watch them if you send them to me, but not that much. So I think
it's a good outlet for you, though.
Being able to have this new, being able to have this new hobby has definitely helped me, have that mental escape. But yes, journaling and making sure that I'm still keeping that up with my gratitude has also been a massive win for me in terms of helping my mental health.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also helped you just to, as an observer, have a more enjoyable downtime.
Mm.
Because I do recall being on you for a long time about like, hey, love.
You need a hobby.
You need a hobby or two. But what happened is like, anyone that knows half a thing about me knows my hobbies start with video games, and that's been my escape since I was a child.
Yeah.
And that, like, I'll be in my 80s playing video games, so nothing's going to change there. But I could always tell that, you know, for Courtney, her downtime would be cleaning the house or, you know, going to help someone with something, and it's like, this is not downtime. You know, now you've got downtime that you look forward to, you unwind. Like you are genuinely now, you are full on a power reader.
Yeah.
Like my Audible account is just fucking chock-a-block with your Mills and Boone books.
They are not. Don't be ridiculous. But yes, I still love audiobooks and I still listen to them frequently because I like to listen to them in the car or when I'm going for walks or something like that.
Yeah, it's impressive. You seem to have multiple books on the go at once. You seem to have a book that you're reading and a book that you listen to at the same time. I'm impressed by this.
Yeah, I tend to.
This is good.
I don't necessarily always. I've never listened. One thing I've never done is I've never listened to a book and followed it on paper at the same time. Some people do that. I've never done that.
Hang on, as in listening to a book and reading the same book at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah, like following it on physical copy. As well as listening to audiobook at the same time.
Do people do that?
Yeah, some people do that. I've never tried that.
What?
Yeah.
Because I there's been plenty of audiobooks that I listen to that I've read. Like I'm doing it again now, like just as an aside, like I'm going through the June books again.
Yeah.
I've read them already and now I'm doing the audiobooks. The same thing I did with Game of Thrones. Read the books, then do the audiobooks, but doing it at the same time?
I've never done it, but I've heard.
Are you sure this is a thing?
I've heard people do it.
Okay. Definitely digression, but look, if you listening do this, podcast at theweightlosspodcast.com, tell me what you get out of this.
I'm actually thinking about trying it because I think I'm going to try it and just see if I like it or not. I'm going to download the book to my Kindle I'll download it on Audible and
I'll
just
see. What's the theory on the enjoyment?
I don't know.
Here.
I've never asked, but I know some people do it and they like it. So I'll let you know. But I'm just saying that I like audiobooks because I like to listen in the car and whatnot. So yes, usually I have an audiobook going underway.
And a physical book.
And I have a different physical book that I read when I'm in my downtime. Yes.
Where would you say that your Kindle rates on the best gifts you've received in the last 10 years?
It is up there. It is up there. So I stole my mum's Kindle before I got my new Kindle. It was a very old Kindle, but it still worked. And I stole that and I used that until I got my new Kindle.
You borrowed?
I borrowed it, but she still hasn't got it back. I've still got it.
What?
Well, she never really used it, so she's not missing it.
You actually did steal it from your mum?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I have a backup Kindle. No, I'll give it back to her. But I have my Kindle and it is by far the best gift because, yes, I couldn't keep buying books. But books are becoming – the good thing about it, books are becoming cheaper these days. A lot of books are becoming cheaper and
Kindle account goes a long way, doesn't it?
Kindle account is also helpful. But I do need to buy a new bookcase.
So we need to buy a bookcase.
Yes.
So, okay, so the small
digression
win,
aside.
No, but overall, though, the win here is finding a hobby that you love.
Yes.
That was also something that you avoided when you were younger.
Yes, actively.
This might be a series of small wins wrapped up in one.
Yes.
Really? Because you're more relaxed now, I notice, as a result. Mm. You're more easygoing. You're more chill. Mm. You know, often I get told words like, hey, Matt, fuck off so I can read my book. Don't talk to me. Go play your little video games while I read a book. But, you know, like it all works out well. I'll wrap up with the last one that I've got here. And it's just getting better at the work from home lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like you work from home now and then as well, Courtney, but I work from home all the time.
100% of the time. Yeah, yeah.
Man, there is an adjustment. If you're listening work from home or have worked from home, you know what I'm talking about. Like time management is the most essential skill with work from home because of how easily you can take what should be a rather routine task and turn it into YouTube, rabbit holes, messaging with friends. Yeah. And it's just like, wow, this should have taken me half an hour and I'm still here 3 hours later because I piss-farted around.
I think it's even more so when you're 100% from home. I think a lot of people work from home these days.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know what it is like in different countries, but in Australia I know that a lot of people haven't necessarily gone back to the office full time like they potentially were before COVID.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have still, you know, are able to work from home 1 or 2 days a week and then they'll go to the office, you know, 3 to 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
But you're at home every day of the week. So it is a lot more. I think whenever you work from home, it has a lot to do with time management. But I think if you are at home 100% of the week, I think it's even more critical that you really manage your time.
I've found ways to be more productive in the time that I do have, get more done in less time, get more done overall. It's, just being more productive. There's a difference between working more versus being productive.
Yeah.
And I think my productivity has improved a lot. Like I do study now, like upskilling, like we all should, but it's still like, you know, you still got to actively go and do it. And it's just been a good feeling to know that like, yeah, this, because I was, for so many years I was used to the gym timetable and the gym lifestyle, you know, get up at 5, be at the gym for 4 to 6 or 6 o'clock, you know, training sessions, and then you come home for a couple of hours to unwind, then back at the gym in the afternoon and evening. And it's different when sometimes you can almost have too much time on your hands and you end up wasting a lot of it. And I'm not going to say that, you know, I've got the magic secret to making it completely flawless because I'm a human being like the rest of us, but man, I've gotten so much better. And now it's not just like, it's not so much I'm going to say, oh, I get so much more done now. I'm more effective at what I do when I do it. And it's a good feeling. Yep. So that's all I got.
Yep. I think they're the ones, well, as we mentioned earlier, there'll be there would have been plenty more in the past and there'll be plenty more in the future.
But we'll do another episode a couple of seasons from now and there'll be more because it's just part of life, isn't it?
It's evolving. Yeah. And it's, as we said, you're always trying to make sure that you're appreciating yourself and your accomplishments, big or small, along the entire journey because, as we've said before, yes, you'll have your milestone goals, but remember that's not the end of it. Because after that milestone goal, you'll have to set yourself another goal. We always have to be striving to continue the progress that we've been achieving. And whether that goal is literally just to keep what you've got because you get to a stage where you're really happy with yourself, you still have to actively keep pushing. So it is far too long of a journey to celebrate only when those milestones come up.
Yeah, I think the best way is to wrap this up is what you said there, Courtney, where it's like, yeah, you've got your big goals, but look at what you're hitting along the way. But also don't be afraid to look below the surface.
Yes.
The wins that you're racking up, like I know this is the weight loss podcast and yeah, this is what we coach with people, but it's always about more than just weight loss.
Yes.
Like for us, a real successful weight loss journey should improve most, if not all, areas of your life. Mm-hmm. Like never going to sit here and downplay the importance of, you know, like looking your best, feeling your best and whatnot, but there's so much more that goes into it.
Yep.
So, Courtney, you want to give a shout-out to our great Facebook group?
Yes. The Facebook group on Facebook is the Weight Loss Podcast. So if you're not already in that group, make sure you search it. And join.
You don't need to search it. Go to the episode notes on this episode in your podcast player and the link's right there where it says Facebook group. Just press it and magic, man. It just happens. It teleports you there. So let's call this one a show. Thank you for listening. We're out of here.
Appreciate it.
See you for the next one.
Bye.
Are you ready to share your success? Head over to our website for full access to our show notes, resources based on today's topic, and links to our Facebook group so you can share your story with our hosts and many others out there who are looking to achieve and maintain their health and fitness goals. You can find all that and more exclusively at theweightlosspodcast.com.